Welcome to Nowercast Tech Briefing. We have a lot of ground to cover today.
We're looking at a fundamental disagreement over how AI models generate text and a reality check on hardware design from outside the standard tech hubs.
The hardware story puts all the theoretical arguments about chip architecture into a very strict economic perspective.
It really does. Let's get right to it. Anthropic is adding a watermark to Claude's text output, and it is making some writers very unhappy. This is specifically to comply with the EU AI Act. The regulatory goal is to make it possible to computationally verify if a piece of text was generated by an AI model like Claude.
John Gruber at Daring Fireball wrote a scathing critique of this decision. His argument is that you shouldn't sacrifice any clarity or coherence just to embed hidden clues in the text.
To understand his complaint, we have to look at how this watermark actually works. Anthropic isn't just appending a hidden metadata tag. They are using a method adapted from Google DeepMind's SynthID text.
Right. It actively alters the token generation process as the model writes.
Exactly. When an AI model predicts the next word, it often evaluates a few options that are basically tied for being the best fit. These are considered low-stakes token choices.
Like choosing between the words happy and glad. They both work in the sentence.
Right. The SynthID method uses a cryptographic key to bias those specific low-stakes choices, rather than relying on a generic random number generator. Over the course of a paragraph, the specific pattern of those choices creates a statistical signature that can be detected later.
Anthropic maintains this is imperceptible. They claim it doesn't change the meaning or the overall quality of the writing.
Gruber's point is philosophical, though. If you are deliberately picking the second best word or altering the natural probability distribution of the model's output to satisfy a regulatory requirement, you are degrading the text by definition.
Is it actually degrading it, though? If the model genuinely evaluates two tokens as equally viable, forcing it down one path based on a cryptographic key doesn't automatically mean the text is worse.
That is the counterargument. But the fear is that imperceptible is a slippery slope. Language is subtle. If you keep nudging the model away from its optimal predictions, eventually the text starts to feel slightly off or less natural.
It introduces a difficult tension. The EU AI Act requires transparency. They want people to know when they are reading AI-generated content, which is a reasonable goal, but the execution means altering the product globally. That is the other piece of this. Anthropic is rolling this out for all future Claude models. They aren't just doing it for users located in the European Union.
Because it is too hard to ring fence. If you offer a non-watermarked version outside the EU, people inside the EU will just use a VPN to access it. And then Anthropic falls out of compliance.
So everyone gets the watermarked version.
I wonder if this creates an opening for open-weight models. If you are running a model locally on your own hardware, you can simply strip out the watermarking logic.
If writers start feeling like Claude's output is compromised, they might migrate to something they can fully control EU. It will be interesting to see if other major providers, like OpenAI, follow this exact same path, or if they try to find a different technical solution to the EU mandate. It feels like we haven't seen the end of this debate.
Let's shift to hardware. There has been an ongoing debate about the RISC-V instruction set architecture.
Dmitry Grinberg recently published a critique arguing that RISC-V made several poor architectural choices. He pointed out that the ISA is fragmented and has quirks that make it less competitive against established players like ARM.
It was a technical, theoretically grounded post, but it prompted a response that reframes the entire conversation.
This came from Armstrong Subero. He is an embedded engineer based in Trinidad and Tobago.
His blog post is titled, "A Third World Embedded Engineer Responds to RISC-V." His premise is that architectural elegance is a luxury.
He lays out the actual economics of building hardware in the global south. If he wants to order a standard microcontroller, he faces international shipping costs and customs duties that run anywhere from $60 to $200.
That is just for the shipping and duties, before you even pay for the part itself.
So when a 10-cent RISC-V chip hits the market, it completely changes what is possible for education and local development in his region.
He notes that ARM licenses cost money. That cost gets passed down the supply chain. RISC-V is open and royalty-free, which allows manufacturers to produce these extremely cheap microcontrollers.
Grinberg's critique focused on things like instruction density and fragmentation. Subaru is saying he doesn't care if the instruction density is slightly worse. He cares that he can afford to buy 100 of these boards for his students.
It highlights a blind spot in how tech is often evaluated. We tend to judge things based on peak performance or theoretical purity.
But accessibility is a feature.
The most important feature in many contexts. If you can't get the hardware, the architecture doesn't matter.
Subaru points out that these cheap RISC-V parts are enabling a generation of engineers in developing nations to actually build things, rather than just reading about them in textbooks.
It makes you wonder how many other supposedly flawed technologies are actually perfectly optimized for markets that major tech hubs just aren't thinking about.
It is a helpful reminder to check geographic assumptions when critiquing open standards.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick.
Sounds good. We have some updates on local AI models and a few interesting feature requests.
Simon Willison published a review of Alibaba's Qwen 3.8 27B model. It is a 27 billion parameter vision model with a massive 262,144 token context window.
He was impressed with it, especially since the quantized GGUF file fits in about 17 to 18 gigabytes. But he noticed it shipped with its reasoning effort defaulted to X-High.
Which means it wildly overthinks simple prompts and slows down execution on local consumer hardware.
If you are running this locally, you definitely want to turn that reasoning parameter down for routine tasks. Over on GitHub, power users of Anthropic's Claude Code Terminal are asking for better keyboard shortcut support.
Right now, you can only map keys to a fixed list of built-in actions. If you build a custom slash command or a plugin skill, you still have to manually type it out every time.
They want the ability to map something like Control S directly to a custom slash command to reduce friction in heavy coding workflows.
Sticking with Claude Code, another feature request is asking for custom buttons in the desktop and IDE interface.
This is about discoverability. Custom agents currently live in hidden directories. If you share a repository setup with a team, non-expert users might not know those tools exist because they aren't visible.
The request asks for a simple way to add a clickable icon to the top bar that triggers those custom agents.
Finally, a quick bug report highlighting the limits of current AI image manipulation. A user imported a picture of a man saluting away from an American flag and asked Claude to turn the man around to face the flag.
After about 10 iterations, the model still couldn't get it right.
Generating an image from scratch is one thing, but asking an AI to understand spatial relationships and precisely rotate a subject within an existing 2D image remains a difficult problem.
And that is it for today's briefing.
Thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow with more updates.